WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you. Hope that you had a chance to get out and enjoy yesterday, and you can get out and enjoy today if you didn't, or just have another day of great weather, because that's what's ahead of us. And it's funny, because as I was looking ahead at the long-term forecast, I said, hey, these numbers are going up. We're in mid-September. These numbers should be going down, but it's nice when you have the cooler evening and the cooler morning when you wake up. It's starting to feel like fall, but we've still got, another 9 days till the equinox? Is that when it is? The fall equinox. I get confused between the solstices and the equinoxes sometimes. Or is it equini? Anyway, you've got a little over another week left of official summer before it becomes my favorite season, although it's already my favorite season. We've got Halloween stuff out in the stores. We've got football on. We've got these cooler nights. This is my time of year. So I don't know how many of you got a chance to go out yesterday and meet Hulk Hogan, but if you did, I hope that you mentioned that you liked hearing him on WBSM. I saw a lot of people that I know had gone to Swansea, but a few people that I know said they went to Attleboro instead, because by the time they got to Swansea, the line was already so big that they didn't think they would get to see Hulk Hogan. So they said, you know what, we're just going to keep driving, go to Attleboro and start getting in line there. But I heard tale, I don't know if it's true, that people had been lined up outside the store at 5 a.m., to meet the Hulkster. So if you were one of those folks and you missed our conversation with Hulk Hogan, you can catch it on the podcast. But also, kudos to your dedication. We are also in the midst of the convention season here in Massachusetts for fans of horror and the paranormal and all of that. We have this weekend coming up in Worcester is the Silver Scream Convention, which is dedicated to horror movies. And then next week is the Plymouth Hometown Haunts and Horror Con, which I'll be a part of, where it's going to be focusing on horror movies. And I'll be talking about the Bridgewater Triangle. And then the weekend after that, we have Terror Con in Marlboro. I'll be part of that. So, and that's a lot of horror paranormal stars. So it's that time of year when those conventions happen, and people will come from all over to come and meet the celebrities that are taking part in these things. I mean, even I'm geeking out about some of the folks that'll be at these, and I'm going to get my first ever, I've never gotten a professional photo done with any of these celebrities at these conventions, because I don't know, it's expensive. And I get it. It's because, you know, these celebrities cost a lot of money to bring in. So they've got to, basically the way it works is many of them work on what's called a guarantee. So they're guaranteed to make a certain amount of money when they show up. And if they don't make that amount of money, then the convention has to make up the difference. But generally they usually are able to sell enough merchandise and photo opportunities and all of that. So Oliver Robbins, who played Robbie in the Poltergeist movies, and that's my favorite movie of all time. So I think I've got to get the professional photo done with him. It's not that expensive either. I think it's like $60. And then I'll pay to have him sign my Poltergeist DVD. The 4K Blu-ray, rather, I should say. And, you know, that'll be my celebrity geek out moment. But for the most part, it's cool just to walk around and see people and meet them and all of that. But I don't know that I would ever line up at 5 a.m. In fact, I'm thinking back, I don't think I've ever done that in my life. There was one time when one of the Boston radio stations used to put on a free summer concert. Or maybe it was, I don't know if it was summer necessarily. Maybe it was like spring or early, I think it might have been early fall. But they used to do it for free on the Boston Common. And the year that I was a junior in high school, or maybe it is the start of my senior year. But the start of my senior year, the headliner act, I should say, was Huey Lewis in the News. And I'm a huge Huey Lewis fan, had never seen them in concert. So I actually got up super early. I think we got up at like 5 a.m., drove, all of our friends met up, drove from Wareham to Boston, got to the Boston Common Lounge, probably around like 6:15, 6:30. Set up our blankets or lawn chairs or whatever we did, and just stayed there until... I don't think the music started until like noon. And then Huey Lewis didn't come on until, I don't know, 5-6 o'clock at night or in the afternoon. But we just stayed there. We got a pretty good spot and we just stayed there. That's the only time I've ever done anything like that. I cannot bring myself to sit there and wait. I cannot bring myself to stand in a line. In the old days of getting tickets, the Ticketron days, I would send somebody else to go get that. Oh, you want to go to the concert with me? Well, I'll tell you what. If you go stand in line and get the tickets, I'll buy your ticket. Because in those days, what are you paying? $20-25 for a ticket? Yes, you want to go stand in line? I will buy your ticket. And then I'll drive to the concert. You know, whatever I could do to sweeten the deal, just so I didn't have to be the one to stand in line. And God bless my friend Matt Costa, because he would go and stand in line for us for things that he wasn't even going to go to. But those days are over now, because you can get all that stuff online. In fact, there is nowhere to go stand in line for a lot of these shows. So I can't wrap my head around lining up outside the store at 5 a.m. and stand out there. But I saw the videos and I saw everybody geeking out about getting to meet their childhood hero. So 508-996-0500. There's some different stories that we can talk about today. We can still talk some more about the debate if you want to. There still hasn't been any official word on whether or not there will be a second debate. As I said yesterday, the Harris campaign wants to have a second debate. Donald Trump has said, you know, he's thinking about it. He's giving it thought. He's portraying it as if he won the debate, when pretty much everybody is saying it went the other way. But, you know, ultimately it doesn't matter. Unless he agrees, there isn't going to be one. The next one, as far as we know, will be the vice presidential debate, which will be on October 1st. And that should be just as interesting to watch as well. And of course, I saw the excuse train pull into Earring Station yesterday. You know, first it was Kamala Harris had the questions ahead of time. And as I said yesterday, you don't need the questions ahead of time. You already know the topics they're going to talk about. I could have predicted every single one of those things that was brought up in the debate. If you asked me to write a list of 40 things I thought would be brought up, the 15 or so topics they got to would have been on that list. But now the conspiracy theory going around, that's interesting. The state secretary treasurer of the Teamsters Local 251 is Matthew Taibbi, which is the same name as the Westport, former Westport resident who went on to write for Rolling Stone and then was involved in the Twitter files, getting those out. I don't know. I just got distracted by the Rhode Island bus story on the TV. Anyway, so but now the theory is, the conspiracy theory is that the earrings that Kamala Harris was wearing were little radios that they were sending her the answers into. And anybody that thinks that is has never worked with an earpiece before. That is not the, first of all, not the setup that you would want to have somebody talking in your ear while you're trying to talk. Secondly, the RF frequency of those would have to be approved by ABC for their broadcast, because they'd have to make sure it doesn't interfere with their broadcast. The same reason why when you go to cover an NFL football game, there's only certain frequencies that you can be operating your equipment on, so it doesn't affect theirs. So if you're a radio station and you're broadcasting back, you need to make sure that you're on a frequency that doesn't interfere with theirs. And also, what did she talk about that she would have needed somebody in her ear for? If you practiced, you were fine. This is a person who is a prosecutor. She's used to standing up and giving speeches on a topic. But everybody's just so desperate to cling on to the fact that, oh, there's no way she could have actually done that. Well, she did. So now what you want to do is you want to just, if you're Donald Trump, regroup. If you give it another shot, you give it another shot. If not, I don't think he's really hurt by this. So it just, you don't need to make excuses for the fact that he got beat. He got rope-a-doped. He got baited into being what he can be. And despite all the protests of his people not to be that way. And that's what happened. That's it. That's the explanation. There's nothing else deeper to it. So just try again the second time if you have another one. That's it. There's also a story that Colin Hogan has at NewBedfordLight.org. And if you haven't seen this story, New Bedford school projects must race to meet COVID dollar deadline. So coming in October, the $74 million of COVID relief funds that was allocated to New Bedford schools will be gone if it's not used. They have to be used by the September 30th deadline. But some projects have not yet completed the public bidding stage, including a $4.4 million school-based health center for which the district is still awaiting public bids. If you remember this, we talked about this when the mayor announced it. I believe it happened back when I was on 9 to noon and the mayor was coming in on my show for Midweek with the Mayor, and they talked about this health center that they wanted to build outside of New Bedford High that would give them medical treatment for New Bedford students. So you would be able to get your, you know, it's not just emergency things that would happen in school, but regular ongoing health care, checkups, other type of care. I think there was even talk that they would have psychiatric and psychological services. And this was something that was going to be offered to all New Bedford students. And if, you know, it would be set up through their parents' health insurance, or if their parents didn't have health insurance, through MassHealth. And the idea was that it would, of course, it would be located at New Bedford High School. But you've got another school right across the street, and then kids from any of the elementary or other middle schools would just be bussed in if they needed. The mayor said they would have transportation to get them there if they needed those services, if they needed to be seen. They'd probably have a shuttle. So that's one of the projects that they're still awaiting bidding on. And if they don't get this done by September 30th, by October 1st, they have to return any unspent money. And Colin Hogan reports that during the recent school committee meeting, they asked for an update. Mayor Mitchell, as the chair ex officio of the school committee, asked about an update. And they are still in the works of a number of other projects, including construction of the central kitchen, which should open in January. They've been able to replace windows and doors in the schools that needed them, and the accessibility projects are underway. But there's a September 19th for public bidding for the school-based health center. And then if they do find someone who's willing to do it, they're going to have to pay them, I guess, first. They also have a $5 million project to improve the HVAC system at Gomes Elementary, still out for public bids. So they must award the contracts and encumber the funds before September 30th. So they just need to grant the contract, and that'll be enough to hold the money. But according to the school department, they are confident they'll be able to meet all these deadlines. Because if that doesn't happen, if they have to return some of that $74 million, I guess the only real word for that is shame. That'll be a huge shame. A huge disappointment for money that they'll never have a chance to get again. You know, knock on Formica, we don't have another pandemic that requires relief funds. So if they don't spend that, they give it back, and those projects either don't get done or they have to use school budget funds in the future to get them done. The central kitchen will be done. That is on track. I don't know the state of some of these other smaller projects. One of the things I'm keeping an eye on is they were going to be resurrecting the New Bedford High School planetarium. I don't know how far along that is. I might reach out to Superintendent O'Leary to ask just for my own edification. Because I think that'll be a very cool thing, especially if they're able to open it to the community in off-school hours. They do that in Plymouth. The Plymouth Carver Intermediate School has a planetarium. And I remember going to it as a kid, and then a few years ago found out it was still there and that they had programs open for the public in the evenings. And so I attended some, and it was really cool and really fascinating. And I'm hoping they can do something similar at New Bedford High School. Because otherwise, I think it's hard to justify paying for a planetarium in today's day and age. When you could just, you know, you can create with projectors and digital imaging and virtual reality and all of that, but it's still a very cool thing to experience. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Pretty baby, is it and welcome back in. Del Amitri, roll to me. So you know that here at WBSM, we love to give stuff away. And one of the best things to give away is money. And starting next week, we're going to be doing that every hour from 8 to 5 every weekday. It is our Money Talks contest. So we're going to pay you just for listening to WBSM. It's your chance to win $30,000. So starting on Monday, We're going to have codes 10 times a day during this show, Chris, Barry, and Howie. When you hear the code, you enter it at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app on our Money Talks page, and you'll be entered to win. There'll be a winner of a $100 prize each time there's a code, and then every entry you put in is a chance to win the $30,000 grand prize. And we got clarification. If you win the $100, you're not eligible to win the $30,000, just so you know. So don't be disappointed if you're not the $100 winner, because that means you are in the running for the $30,000. 10 chances to win each and every day. For more information, you can visit WBSM.com or the WBSM app. But Money Talks starts on Monday here on WBSM. Now it's time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Ariel Dorsey.
Ratings soared during the first presidential debate, concerns for delayed ballots amidst the November election, and Taylor Swift takes home the biggest awards.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Initial viewership numbers show ratings soared for the first debate between Vice President Harris and former President Trump. Media analytics company Nielsen reports more than 67 million people watched the showdown on Tuesday across the four major networks and four cable news channels. A Pakistani man living in Texas has been indicted on charges that he was trying to orchestrate an elaborate murder-for-hire plot that was targeting several politicians, including former President Trump. The Justice Department says Asif Merchant, who has ties to Iran, had started to recruit who he thought would be hitmen. They turned out to be undercover federal agents. Election officials across the country are concerned that changes with the U.S. Postal Service could delay ballots for November's election. Potential problems included post-marketed ballots arriving too late to be counted, and in some cases, ballots were returned as undeliverable, even though they were properly addressed. In a letter to Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, the National Association of Secretaries of State and the National Association of State Election Directors raised concerns that issues with the Postal Service could disenfranchise voters. The 2024 VMAs marked the 40th anniversary of the star-studded awards ceremony. Jacqueline Carl has more.
Taylor Swift was the big winner at the MTV Video Music Awards. The VMAs were handed out last night in New York, and Swift won the award for Video of the Year for Fortnite featuring Post Malone. Swift directed the video and won for Best Direction, and her and Post Malone also won for Best Collaboration. In addition, Swift took home the award for Artist of the Year and Best Pop. Other winners included Sabrina Carpenter, who won Song of the Year for Espresso, and Chappell Roan for Best New Artist and Eminem for Best Hip Pop. I'm Jacqueline Carl.
Prosecutors began introducing evidence Wednesday on the third day of the trial involving the U.S. Department of Justice antitrust allegations against Google. The DOJ says that Alphabet companies' online and technology prevents smaller companies from competing, something Google denies. And Boeing factory workers could end up walking off the job if they don't approve the latest contract proposal. Some 33,000 workers will vote Thursday on the deal, and if they rejected, they could strike as early as Friday.
WBSM Sports.
New England Patriots will host the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday, and the Red Sox walked off with a 5-3 win over the Orioles at Fenway Park. They visit the New York Yankees for a four-game series that begins tonight in the Bronx.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Thursday. We may see some areas of fog this morning. Temperatures on the chilly side around 50, turning mostly sunny for today. Temperatures climbing to the low 70s this afternoon under sunny skies, clear, and some patchy fog overnight in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, we'll be seeing some patchy fog early on in the day, mostly sunny, mid-70s. Beautiful weekend in store. Be sure to watch ABC6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Ariel Dorsey for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back, and that's the Sneaker Pimps, one of the great songs of the 90s that, you know, you could really hear that kind of production that went into songs back then because they were trying anything and everything. It was all on the table, and the technology was helping them do that. You know, getting Pro Tools in the studio, people could start messing around and doing things that before would require, you know, all kinds of musicians in there to do it. And that has led to the world we live in now where, you know, people mock it, but Taylor Swift can make those hugely selling albums at her house without needing to bring in all kinds of musicians. Billie Eilish and her brother can sit in her bedroom and record her debut album that became a huge smash. So it doesn't take all of this production anymore to be able to put out hit music. And in fact, there are people who are creating music with AI and some people creating music with AI for fraudulent purposes. There was a story that has come out recently about a music producer, and we'll use that term loosely in this case, from North Carolina. His name is Michael Smith, and he's alleged to have created thousands of bot accounts on platforms like Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Music. And he used those accounts to automatically stream the AI music he had placed on those platforms, generating as many as 661,440 streams per day. Basically, this man was making millions of dollars with this scheme. And what he was doing was he was creating the music according to the charges. He was creating the music with AI. So he was able to create tens of thousands of songs very easily. And you can do this. There's AI music generators that you can do. You can say, write me a song about, you know, a New Bedford linguica, and I want it sung by a voice that sounds like Mick Jagger. And as long as AI can find some information about New Bedford and linguica and all that, it'll write the song. And it'll create the song in seconds. And so he used this to create tens of thousands of songs, uploaded them all to these streaming services who get so many submissions, they can't really, you know, they can't really screen the music that people put up there. Like if you make an album, like let's just say you do a Billie Eilish, you know, you record an album at home, and you want to release it to the world, you can put them up on these streaming services. And so what happened was this person, Michael Smith, then created these bot accounts to go in and specifically stream those songs that he put up. And I don't know all the details of this, but I was talking to a friend of mine that works in the music business, and I said, like, could this be happening with the actual, like, the kind of the traditional music publishers? Is it possible that, you know, we get these numbers of just, I'll use Taylor Swift as an example. You know, Taylor Swift's streamed 50 million times with this song. Are we sure that those are all actual people? Or do the record companies use these bots too? or similar technology, but these streaming services ignore that because of the amount of money that is generated from those music services that they could say, hey, we're gonna start our own, you know, I don't even know all the music companies anymore, but Warner Music is going to start their own streaming service. So we don't need to supply it to yours anymore. Because that's what's happened with television. It used to be that, you know, these bigger studios and networks would have to reach distribution deals with others. They would say, you know what? And we're just going to put it, what they call over the top. We're just going to put it out ourselves, and then we can control it all better. And we make all the money. That's why Paramount created Paramount Plus, why HBO created Max. So if that's the case, if that's the way you're going to do it, you know, by putting it out on these, so maybe they are inflating those numbers. But my friend that works in the business said no, because the music companies are under stricter scrutiny by the services, that they're actually scanning all that. But for you and I to upload something, it might take a while. And what? And this person said that the guy here probably screwed up by having bots that didn't stream other artists, only the songs that he had put up there, which might have been a red flag. And the other possibility is that he might have gotten greedy and had them doing too much too fast. So if the streaming services see all of a sudden that, you know, John Doe Music is getting an extreme number of streams, and like, well, who is this guy? He's not backed by a major record company. There's no advertising campaign for him. Like, how are people finding his music, and why is he becoming so popular? And that's a red flag that would have them look into it. So he's facing charges. He is denied, by the way, that his work was AI generated. And this is not the first time he's been accused of this fraud. It happened previously in 2019. So you don't want to see somebody doing that then ends up having the streaming services come down and say, okay, well, now we're not letting people upload their music anymore. You know, independent artists can't put their music up here anymore, which would be a huge hurt to a number of artists. Because so many of them get found on those streaming services. But, you know, TikTok can make somebody a star now. There used to be the term TikTok rapper when TikTok first came out, because somebody would make a song, upload it, and everybody would be listening to it. And I think so many of the local musicians around here are probably putting their music up on some of these streams. Now, a lot of people try to eschew that whole world, and they look for more independent things like Bandcamp or SoundCloud, and, you know, then they generate revenue themselves pretty much directly. But I think you also have the desire to get on these streaming services because it matters. I can tell you that, you know, the Spooky South Coast podcast has been around for years. And it's everywhere the podcasts are found. Any podcast service out there probably carries it. Our competitor has their own streaming service that carries Spooky South Coast. Somehow they picked up the RSS feed, and I didn't bother to tell them, hey, you know that's your competition. Like, they don't care. They just want every podcast they can get on their service because they know then they can promote people to go there and get it. And so I've got it. It's everywhere, but I've never heard from people like I heard when it hit Spotify. Oh, I found your podcast on Spotify. Oh, I listened to you on Spotify. Like, that was the big kind of sea change for it. We were already getting good numbers of downloads before, but that blew it up because that's what people were using. It wasn't because it suddenly became popular. It was because so many people were using it that the 0.00000001% of the world that's ever heard of the show on that service was a much larger number. So that's why these independent singers and songwriters and producers and artists, they want to get their music on these services. And guys like this can ruin it. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line, voicemails, and the WBSM app. Speaking of music, of course, we have tickets to give away to the Soundside Music Festival that is happening September 28th and 29th in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The Saturday individual day tickets are mostly sold out. You can get tickets at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. You can actually click the link there to buy some if you'd rather just buy tickets and not worry about trying to win. But the Sunday lineup, headlined by Foo Fighters, headlined by Bleachers, Norah Jones, those we are giving away. You just enter in your information and you're entered to win. But we also do have one pair of grand prize wristbands for someone to go both days. And to win those, we're having you send us an open line voicemail where you tell us why you should be the winner, who you want to see on Saturday, why it matters to you to win those wristbands. So if you do that, you can, if you go there and you send the open line voicemail on the app, you can be entered to win those. And I think we're picking our winners tomorrow for that. So you want to make sure that you get it done today or tomorrow morning. Right now, though, by the way, WBSM.com, the WBSM app, all the info is there, including how to send that open line voicemail if you don't know how. And Tim's tickets here on WBSM are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and the home of the Rackhouse Club, where if you are a fan of whiskey, bourbon, rye, scotch, you should be joining the Rackhouse Club. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Right now, though, I am going to take that break. 508-996-0500. We will be right back.
Policeman caps the shades and sell a Chevy 69. How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And participation trophy wife says Bandcamp has a Local H listening party tonight. I didn't know Local H was still around. I saw them open for Stone Temple Pilots at, well, what was then the Fleet Center. Was that back in 96? Must have been. It was on the Tiny Music Tour. And I still have my CD that was autographed by the whole Stone Temple Pilots band. I bought it at the merch table. But I remember buying that and saying to my friend, I'm going to buy this because I bet you someday Scott Weiland passes away of a drug overdose and this will be worth something. Like, I was trying to be funny, you know, as the edgy 18-year-old kid. And sadly enough, it turned out to be true. I don't know if it's worth anything, but I still have it somewhere. But yeah, Local H. Maybe I'll play Bound for the Floor later on. Also, listening parties are a fantastic thing to take part in if you've never done that. I went to the one for the Pearl Jam album for Dark Matter. That happened at Max J Records over here in Fairhaven. And it was such a fun time being there with other people. Being there and with folks who are, you know, fans of the band, but also just fans of music. And they're actually having another listening party coming up. On Wednesday, September 18th, they're going to have a listening party for last night's Video Vanguard Award recipient at the MTV Music Awards, Katy Perry. Her new album, 143. So they are doing this listening party next Wednesday from 5 to 6 at Max J Records. You have to get a ticket online to take part in this. But don't worry, the tickets aren't going to cost you anything. It's free. And the first people to attend are going to get a poster. And they will have other limited giveaways as well. They usually hand out a raffle ticket, and if you're the lucky winner, you could win take home prize tote bags and the Women's World 7-inch single. So Katy Perry fans, you are going to want to be there next Wednesday at Max J Records. Just go to maxjrecords.com for more info. And tell the Katy Perry fan in your life about it. But it's fun. They play, and it's an actual record, an actual vinyl record they're playing on the really high-end equipment that they have there to play music. And you get to just stand around and listen to it with the other fans and react to these songs, hearing them for the first time. And if there's a lot of people that show up and they can't get everybody into the room because it is kind of a small room, they'll usually do it a second time afterwards for the people that didn't get in. So, but don't take the chance if you want to hear it. All right, I'm going to take my final break of this hour. We will be right back. Welcome back, and we've just got a few seconds here before we're going to go into the newsroom. When we come back on the other side, we can talk with you at 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. There's a really interesting story, a tragic story that happened in Boston.